Good morning, and welcome to Berrien County Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in to our website today. Our service today will be without the usual song service, and maybe next Sunday we'll add some more live music to our service itself. I must say, it's awfully quiet in the hallway without your little children running and laughing and hugging me. And let me also say, I love you all and miss seeing you here today. I was gone March the 8th, and then Mike Maynard preached last Sunday, so I was really looking forward to speaking to you today. And by the way, Kathy, the temperature here is just perfect. Thought I'd let you know. I want to mention a couple of things that I mentioned last Sunday morning as the service started in regards to things going on in our country today. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We should have caution, of course, but not be bound in fear. Fear paralyzes, but faith in God energizes. So we'll obey government, but honor God first and foremost, as always. Please join me in prayer together as we begin our service today. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to be able to preach the Word of God. Lord, you know the circumstances we, our country, our church, the world is facing today. And so, Father, we pray that you'd meet our needs, that you'd bless our time together. Though our folks can't be here, I know they're listening today, so I pray that you'd meet their needs. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me and use me. And Lord, if there's someone that tunes in today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come to trust Him today. Whom to know is life eternal. And I pray you'd bless our nation. Lord, be with those who are ill. Protect others who are not. Give our leaders wisdom and guidance. And Father, we pray to this end that we, as your people, might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Bless this service now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. There will be no public service or church activities until after April the 1st, when we find out what the president recommends for the general public once again. Please don't hesitate to call me or one of the deacons if you need prayer or if you need one of us to come by and help you with something. We'd certainly be glad and available to do so. Your phone calls won't bother us, and we want to be of help any way that we possibly can. I want to encourage you to keep up on your daily Bible reading and pray for all the people of our church as well as the health and security of our nation. We always pray for our shut-ins, and they need your prayers even more. But come to think of it, I guess we're all shut-ins right now, so we all need prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I encourage God's people all over to seek God's face, that He might work in the affairs of our nation and that people's hearts would turn to him in this crisis. I want to pause to say happy birthday, as we do on Sunday mornings, to first Kate Bartz and Dave Lape and Dan Murphy. Happy birthday to you folks. I also want to encourage all of you to join tonight through our website again at 6:30 for the evening preaching service, and then again Wednesday at 7 o'clock for our Bible study and prayer time. We'll have the regular Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Also, I want to take time to thank the people of our church for their generous love offering to Evangelist Mike Manor last Sunday. He wanted me to let you know how much he appreciates your generosity. What a great weekend we had with him and our married couples. I hope that you'll reflect on the things that you gleaned from those meetings. Thank the Lord we got to have that meeting before the new guidelines for public gatherings came out on Monday. Some people have asked about their tithes. You may mail them to the church or hold them until we can meet together once again. Because of the faithfulness of you folks to honor the Lord each week by giving, our church is fine. Thank God for that. I'm sure some of you right now are lounging in your living room with a cup of coffee or tea. Enjoy that. Someone might ask why I'm dressed in a suit with no one here to listen to me. It's simple. I feel I'm representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not Saturday Night Live. So I'll plan to be no different here today than usual, but you can enjoy the comfort of your own home. And if it's your custom to fall asleep while I'm preaching, don't spill your coffee when you do, all right? I want to take just a minute to hear a word from our sponsor. Would you pause with me as I do that? In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 18 through 23, God says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I've not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves, and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." We're going to listen to a song, and then the message.
Someday life's journey will be o'er, and I shall reach that distant shore. I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me. Jesus led me all the way.
I appreciate the many that have texted me, even this morning, letting me know that you're praying for me. It is a little awkward preaching to an empty building. I'm actually preaching to the church. You're just not here. And I'm preaching in this empty building. I've often brought people by and showed them through our, quote, church. But this morning, I'm really come to grips with the fact that this building is just a building without the people. You're the church. I'm glad you're joining with me this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 29. Proverbs chapter number 29. And I'm going to read just one verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 29, and we'll look at verse number 18. Get your Bibles out now. Proverbs chapter 29. And verse number 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Once again, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I've been preaching this year in our morning services on having a greater vision. Enhancing our vision for different aspects of the Christian life, restoring our spiritual eyesight with 20/20 vision. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. From that passage, we've been speaking about a greater vision for the Savior, a greater vision for the lost, a greater vision for our families, a greater vision for the love of God, a greater vision for the church, a greater vision for the will of God, and a couple of Sundays ago, a greater vision for the next generation. The Apostle Paul preached the Word of God. His message was the revelation of what God said. God used him to give us his word for our day. In fact, 14 of the 27 New Testament books were inspired of God through the Apostle Paul. That's more than 50% of the New Testament. The Apostle Peter spoke of these writings of Paul as other scriptures, recognizing that they were in fact the very word of God. Acts 20:20 has everything to do with the word of God and getting it to others. So today I want to preach from Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 on a greater vision for the word of God. A greater vision for the word of God. And let's pause again for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would bless as your word goes forth. We realize it's not ours, and our thoughts are empty and vain if they're not supported and built upon your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister through me. And Father, again, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice today that has not received Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, may that person or several do that today. Bless our people, I pray. Bring us back together again soon in good health. Bless this message now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. This passage is often used as a challenge for people to envision works that they can accomplish. I've heard messages from this verse concerning the need to get a vision of what one can do for the Lord. The thought is usually presented as a spiritual challenge to motivate one to greater realms of achievement. Certainly, people need to catch a glimpse of doing more for the Lord and even dreaming in their mind what they could do. Ecclesiastes tells us, a dream cometh through the multitude of business. In other words, when you have a goal in mind, it will only come to fruition with a lot of work. We truly need a greater vision for what we can do for the Lord, but that is not the focus of this verse. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Notice the second part of the verse, the contrasting thought that has to do with the law, the written law of God, God's word for man. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. Blessed or happy is the person that hears and keeps the law of God. In fact, James 1 and verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The last part of Proverbs 29:18 presents the contrasting part to the first of the verse. The last part tells us there's blessings for keeping the law of God. This is obviously giving us the idea that this verse speaks of how the Word of God impacts people's lives. If you keep the law, you will be happy. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now the first part of this verse says that people perish. Where there is no vision, people perish. The word perish is the idea of they lead themselves. They let go. They let loose of restraint. They show lack of constraint, actually resulting in trouble or destruction. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I think the first part of Isaiah 63, verse 6 sums that up, or 53, verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Where there's no vision, the people perish, leading themselves, loosing themselves of restraint, showing lack of constraint. Where there's no vision, the people perish. People lead themselves, living with no restraint, resulting in, of course, destruction. The Bible does say the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Now, what is it, according to this verse, that results in people leading themselves with no restraint, resulting in destructive ends? What is it that causes that? Well, the verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. where there is no vision. No vision. The word vision has to do with a divine vision, divine oracle or principle, divine prophecy communicated by God. Where there is no, may I say, word from the Lord. The word vision is referring, I believe, to the word that comes from God. God's word, the Bible, if you please. When the word of God is absent, the sinful nature of man leads him to let go, to live without restraint, resulting in paths of destruction, and ultimately, destruction in hell if a person doesn't receive Jesus Christ as Savior. This verse uses the word vision and says people perish where there is none. Without the word from God, people are left to their own destructive devices where there's no vision, where there's no word from God. You know, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. People who don't have the word are left to lead themselves, and that path leads to death. I read a story this week in my devotions that seemed to illustrate this thought, that where there is no vision, people perish. In 1 Kings chapter 17, go ahead if you want to turn there with me in your Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 8. That's in the Old Testament, by the way, for the deacons. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The widow was living in the days of the great famine that came to Israel during the reign of wicked Ahab. She had spent all her store of food. She was going to fix what little, and I mean very little, she had left. And then she expected she and her son would die of starvation. She had nothing to hang her hope on. She was only being led in her mind by what she knew in her present life experience. Where there is no vision, no word from the Lord, the people perish. And then Elijah expressed the vision, the word from the Lord. And she believed and acted upon it. Then she and her son were preserved, happy from keeping the law. She heard the vision, the word of God, acted upon it, and then was blessed. I also thought of the city of Nineveh. God was going to destroy the people of Nineveh, who would have perished without the word. But he sent Jonah to preach the word unto them. And of course, we know the story of Jonah. When he finally went and preached to them of impending judgment, they, the people of Nineveh, repented of sin, turned to God, and were spared. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That which makes the difference is the presence of the Word of God and the response to it. Someone said this, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. You know, there are a lot of people who won't listen to what God says. I say, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There are a lot of other people who have not heard the word of God. I say, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There are some people who are miserable in their lives because they want to lead themselves by their own thoughts, by their own principles, by their own ideas. And I say, where there's no vision, no word from the Lord, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Where there's no vision, the people perish. In Nehemiah's time, he was leading in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem that had been destroyed many years before by Nebuchadnezzar because of Israel's sin, the scripture says. And listen to these words from Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. Nevertheless, they were disobedient, speaking of Israel, and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vex them. They cast God's law behind their backs. They didn't want to hear the vision. And it resulted in the destruction of their nation. Where there's no vision, the people perish. In King Jehoshaphat's time, the Bible records this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. What did he say? Hear the vision. Hear the word of God, and you'll prosper. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That which makes the difference in people's lives and the outcomes they experience is the presence of the Word of God and how each one responds unto it. Today, we're living in times of uncertainty. I thought of the song, listen to these words, in times like these. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, we have a Savior. In times like these, we have an anchor. I'm very sure my anchor holds. And the chorus says, this rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We need a greater vision today of the Word of God. We need to open our eyes to God's Word once again, as a people, always, and as a nation. People around you need to hear the vision. Not your vision, not my vision, the vision, the Word of God. Theologians have minimized and rationalized some of the Scriptures. Textual critics have sliced and diced the Scriptures so people don't trust, thus saith the Lord. But I'll keep proclaiming the complete Word of God, which I unapologetically say is the King James Bible. I use it. I believe it's complete. They can promote their modern versions with missing words and missing verses. And I say, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We need the Word of God. What people need today is the complete revealed Word of God. What we need in times of trouble are the promises of God found in his Word. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. People have been circumstance driven to think the spread of a virus is the end of the world. Fear has grabbed people. Conjecture and conspiracy fill the air. But Jesus said this. Hear the vision. Hear the Word. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'm thankful for the Word revealed that Jesus said we can come to him. I encourage you today, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. We have solid promises given to us in the vision from God, the written Word of God. I believe there's going to be a rapture, a catching away into heaven of the saved, those who've come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And I believe the rapture is closer today than it was yesterday. Not because there's a global virus, but because the revealed Word of God says so. The vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. The Apostle Paul didn't need a virus to get him to think of the coming of the Lord. He wrote to the people in Thessalonica and said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And then in chapter 4 and verse 15, he writes to them and says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe there's going to be a rapture, and it could be today. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. But I don't believe the rapture is closer because of a worldwide pandemic. I believe the rapture is closer because it could be at any moment. The Apostle Paul wrote, "We, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write as if it would happen in his day. He didn't need a virus to look for Jesus coming. But Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Do you know him? Today, many young people are destroying their lives following their own sinful desires of the flesh. And I say, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Young people, you'll be in misery if you don't get a glimpse of the Word of God and let it impact your life and how you live. The ungodly world is facing wrath to come after the rapture. There are several judgments that are spelled out in the book of the Revelation that take place after we saved people are taken up to be with the Lord. In one of those judgments, 1/4 of the world's population dies. In another of those judgments, 1/3 of the world's population dies. So 7/12 of the world will die just from 2 different judgments that God will bring in the tribulation period. My friend, you need to make sure that you're saved. The ungodly world is facing wrath to come. They need to hear the word today. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We who are saved by the grace of God have the joy of the Lord in the face of a global pandemic because we have a vision of the promises of God. Another song I thought of, I want to share the words to, it's entitled "The Bible Stands." The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away, by inspiration, God breathed, by inspiration it has been given. All its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove it and make it mine. And then the chorus says, the Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands. If you're not saved, you need a vision of the Word of God. I ask you to open your eyes to the truth of God's Word today. God made you, and you and I have sinned against God, the Holy God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And each one of us will stand before Him. But Jesus Christ took our place in judgment. He lived a perfect life for you and for me, where we have come short. And then he died the sinner's death in our place. He took our judgment. The wages of sin is death. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took our place in judgment. Today, if you'll turn from sin, for your own way, and accept what Jesus did for you, living a perfect life in your place and paying for your sins in your place, shedding his blood to wash away your sins, if you will put your trust in him and call upon him to save you, you will not perish. He'll give you everlasting life as a gift paid for by his death and resurrection from the dead. Jesus said, hear the vision, hear the word from God. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Have you heard the vision, the word? Now what will you do with it? Will you get a greater vision for the word of God in your own life? Would you pause with me for just a moment of prayer? If you'd bow your head there and let me pray for you. But first, let me ask you this question. Under the sound of my voice today, can you honestly say, I've heard the word of God, how that Jesus died for me, and I've responded to it. I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior by faith, calling upon him to save me once and for all forever. If you can say that, I rejoice with you. If not, listen. Where there's no vision, the people perish. If you haven't responded to God's word and his promise of salvation, God loves you and wants to save you. And you could pray a prayer like this today. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Your word tells me I would be headed to hell. But your word also tells me that you loved me and died for me and rose again from the dead to save me. So I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, wash away my sins, and save me once and for all forever. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift of eternal life. If you'd pray that prayer, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, bless these folks today that have heard this message. I pray that we would experience the reality of the verse we've talked about. Those who are keeping the law, abiding by what God says, will experience the happiness and joy that you promised. And Lord, I pray that those who've heard the vision today, the need of salvation, would come to trust Jesus so they would not perish. God bless each one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If today, in response to the message, you personally have received Christ as your Savior, let me know. Shoot me an email, pastor@bcbaptistchurch.org. I want to ask our folks, let me know, text me or send me an email that you watched and your family watched our video this morning. Pray for our church, pray for our country. And folks, be sure to meet and greet in the vestibule after the service. Just kidding. I know we can't do that today. God bless you. Thanks for joining in. I love you. And we'll see you tonight at 6:30. God bless.